from the theme park capital of the world, bringing you the latest in theme park and pop culture news. Welcome to the Thrill Geek Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome once again to the Thrill Geek Podcast. My name is Clint.
I'm Barry, and I'm getting a sense of deja vu. I feel like I've done this before.
48 hours ago?
Yes. I feel like I'm going to talk about some of the same things I talked about before.
That's all right. We'll change it up. We moved some things around. We're going to stick to just Halloween Horror Nights with this recording since it's the middle of the week, and we'll save all the other stuff for Sunday night's recording. So, again, I apologize for the technical issues we had, but hopefully everything is all squared away and we are good to go. So, I was on the wrong screen at the beginning here. Anyways, first things first, like I said, we're going to cut right to Universal Studios Hollywood and their house. They're going classic with classic monsters. So we're going to go ahead and start with that again and discuss that. And then we'll get into stuff that's going on here in Orlando. So,
I mean, this is definitely one that I might be a little jealous about, that Universal Studios Hollywood, they announced their final maze for this year, and it's going to feature the iconic classic monsters. Everyone from the Wolfman, Invisible Man, Phantom of Opera, Dracula, Dracula's Bride, Frankenstein's Monster, Bride of Frankenstein, The Mummy, just to name a few.
And it was really interesting. One thing that, because I was so focused on fixing the audio issue we had, now I'm going to be able to focus a little bit better. Murdy was really tweeting about this house, like this holds like a really a special place in his heart with the classic monsters. I found that really interesting. Some of the stuff he was tweeting out, like he was like really excited to announce this house.
Yeah, I mean we've seen the monsters integrated into houses before, and of course I believe what part of Terror Tram and stuff like that, but I mean this is really, you know, hardcore based about that you're, you know, basically stepping into a classic monster movie. And, and then the interesting thing, too, is Slash has created an original score for it.
Yeah, and we were discussing, and I still didn't find out if he had done something before, but I have a feeling this wasn't the first time. And then you mentioned, what was the other band that they've worked with before?
Alice Cooper. Had a maze.
Thank you. That's what it was. That was a couple of years ago. But yeah, I even read that they're going to have, I don't know where it's going to be available, but the soundtrack for this maze is going to reportedly be available for download. So you can listen to the music after you go through the haunted house. So that's pretty cool. Have we ever had I'm trying to think back to the old school. I can vaguely remember us getting something classic monsters here in Orlando for Horror Nights.
Weren't they part of the 25th maze?
25th maze.
The big giant 25th anniversary maze.
Oh, yeah. I think they were.
They've been a part of things in the past.
So. Yeah. Gosh, I can't remember. Like, I want to go back to the early Horror Nights days, like 4, 5, 6, 7. Because, you know, back then they really had, that was really their only, their, you know, that was the intellectual property back then was what they had before they really started going out. And I swear, maybe it was just, you know, maybe I'm thinking of like Beetlejuice's Graveyard Review type stuff.
Well, they had stuff like, like Horror Nights 5 had Universal's House of Horror and Guest Meet Hollywood's Horror Film Legends, which are back from the grave.
See, that's what I... Yeah, that's what I... Because I started going to Horror Nights at number 4, I think? The Crypt Keeper.
Yeah, 5 was the Crypt Keeper.
5. Okay, so I started going
That's probably... Yeah, There was a whopping three houses.
Yep.
For
gosh.
Five.
How times
have changed. One of them was Universal's House of Horror. There was three shows.
Yeah.
So Rock of Ages, The Price is Fright, where Beetlejuice hosted the wildest game show in the underworld. And then, of course, Bill and Ted.
Yep, good old Bill and Ted.
And there was two scare zones, so.
Gosh, how times have changed.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. But yeah, anyways, back on topic.
They've definitely been used periodically in the past.
Yeah, and the artwork, which if you're watching on our YouTube live stream, the artwork's pretty cool looking. They really gored him up. Frankenstein's monster, he's all bloodied up, and obviously Dracula's all bloodied up. The concept artwork that they released for the maze is pretty neat looking. Wolfman. So should be this. I think, you know, I mean, we don't. How am I going to say this without sounding? We got 10 houses here in Orlando, so we have nothing to shake a stick at, so to speak. But like you said, if I had to pick one maze that I was jealous, because, you know, Hollywood's getting some of the stuff we're getting, but this would be one that I was, like you said, slightly jealous of, because who doesn't love the Universal Classic Monsters, you know? So
yeah, and speaking of our last two mazes, houses to be announced, we got... to no surprise to anyone, the Horrors of Blumhouse is coming back this year, with this year for us being Happy Death Day and The First Purge, whereas Hollywood will be getting Truth or Dare and Unfriended. So I definitely think we got the better two out of the Blumhouse movies here. So, you know, I mean, I know some people are getting tired of The Purge, but, you know... The Purge isn't going anywhere. I mean, it's really, with it being a very popular, with the TV show starting here soon, coming up in September, within the next couple of weeks, I believe. So the Purge ain't going anywhere. So you'll go through the First Purge and Happy Death Day, and, you know, Happy Death Day takes place at a college campus. And, you know, the girl relives her life over and over again as this killer is trying to kill her until she can figure out who's doing it. So I imagine you're going to go through the different kills that happen in the movie.
I haven't seen Happy Death Day, so that's one. Killer Clowns from Outer Space and Happy Death Day are the two movies I'm going to have to see to get caught up.
And then the First Purge, it's The Purge, but it's the first one. I'll be honest to see if they do a little bit more of less just people attacking and scaring, and maybe have, like, you know, sort of the battle between like the purgers and the people who are against it, maybe going on around you, you know, as the first experiment goes on. So
I loved your analogy. It's The Purge, but the first one.
Yeah, I mean, it you know, but in both for Happy Death Day and the First Purge, there's gonna be a lot of people in masks, because I mean, the killer in Happy Death Day has like a baby mask, and of course the Purge is known for people, you know, purging in mass. So
yeah,
you know, I'll be interested to see what they do. The Purge as a house, you know, it doesn't always work really well. It's always been its best as a scare zone.
I agree completely.
100%. Albeit the full-blown The Purge house was a last minute thing, because that house was originally developed to be Scream. You could even go through the scenes and you could actually pick out, even though they had, you know, reset dressed different areas of that house, you could pick out the scenes that were from the Scream movies.
Yeah,
especially the first one. So I mean, it's I think out of the two Blumhouses, I think we've got the one with the most potential. It'll be in the same spot in that tent that's next to the Men in Black queue,
right next to MIB.
Yeah, so I'm excited for it. You know, and we'll discuss on our later preview podcast when we give our hype list of what we're the most excited. But the more excited and the final exciting thing in the final house revealed for Horror Nights in Orlando is Scary Tales Deadly Ever After. As Scary Tales returns again to Halloween Horror Nights.
Yeah, you know, like I said, I can remember as far back as Scary Tales 2 in the Popeye queue at during Islands of Fear. So it's always good to see. I've always enjoyed the Scary Tales house. And someone actually reminded me the first, as some of my friends know, I did a little haunted house here in Hunter's Creek. And the first year I did it, we did something similar to this where it was like fairy tales gone wrong. So I always love this type of, I guess if you want to call it a storyline, this, you know.
Yeah, I mean, the first Scary Tales was back in 2001, and sort of was based around, like, you were walking through a dark ride. And like you said, there was one at IOA. Yep. For the 20th, it was part of, I believe, the 20th anniversary house. And then for the 25th, it was a scare zone. So it's back again. You know, they bring it back again because, like we said, with the fairy tales, there's so many different stories that can be told using the whole Scary Tales idea. And in this one, it uses the Wicked Witch of the West, who has cursed and corrupted the fairy tale land. And it's causing good characters to turn bad and evil characters to become even worse.
You have your notes from the round table, which we're going to discuss later, but why don't you go ahead now and talk about the stuff that they discussed in the round table for Scary Tales.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things they've said is, like, the Wicked Witch will be very prevalent throughout the house. You'll see how bad she's made things. One of the things they talked about is Rapunzel's hair has come alive and ripped itself off her scalp. I'm assuming we'll be attacking you. The house is bigger than any Scary Tales house they have done before. And from what they've said, the opening facade is just huge. It's gigantic. And they did talk about one of the rooms you will go through. And it's a splatter room based on Humpty Dumpty. And apparently, like, the Humpty Dumpty has fallen off the wall. But the egg hits a hot cauldron and it's cooked the egg. And there'll be dripping egg mess you'll be walking through, and the smet, you know, gross smell, and really, from what they've said, very disgusting and gross sounding audio. So that's that. You know, they love their smells, especially here at Halloween Horror Nights in Orlando.
Yeah, the Humpty Dumpty description makes me laugh.
So I mean, a lot of people were excited for this announcement. People like Scary Tales. It's one of the fan favorites over the last, I guess, 17 years.
Did they say where this is going to be? Is this a soundstage house?
Yeah. So we might as well start getting into. They did something really unique and interesting this year. Is they did a roundtable with the main Halloween Horror Nights creative team. And they did it on social media and posted. You can still see it now up on YouTube on the Universal Orlando Resort channel. Little over an hour, you know, hosted by Mike Aiello, and
it was really cool. I enjoyed it.
It was really cool. You know, Scary Tales will be on Soundstage 24 along with Carnival Graveyard.
Okay, so that's the one that they said that's sharing the.
Yeah, that'll be the shared one.
The shared soundstage.
You know, they got into not everything, but they did get into a lot of things. One of the first things they talked about was Stranger Things, which, you know, since that was first announced back in was it March, April now?
I think so. Yeah, April.
It's been a while. That was a huge, huge get for them. You know, they said ever since that series come out and all of them watched it, they were like, we want this for Halloween Horror Nights. So this has definitely been a huge get for them. It's definitely create. It's interesting. Like they talked about how they went about creating it, because you know the series Stranger Things, you're often, it's not a linear show. You're bouncing around through flashbacks.
Yeah.
In different times. But one of the things they said, the maze will tell a linear story from beginning to end. Using locations and major scenes that were in season one of Stranger Things. One of the things they talked about was the forest that you'll be walking through is the largest one they've ever created. And on top of that, they'll use mirrors to create the illusion that it's even bigger than it actually is.
I can't remember. They talked a lot about facade. Did they talk about what the Stranger Things facade was going to be?
I can't remember if it's the forest is the first thing you walk through.
I'm trying to go back and remember.
I don't remember them really talking about the facade. I feel like they're trying. You know, they mentioned obvious things like you know, the buyer's house, you know, living room, of course. The biggest thing they mention is that the Demogorgon will be present. You will see the Demogorgon a lot, which makes sense because it really was the only real monster in that first season. And that the Demogorgon is large. It will be seen a lot. They talked about it being one of the most like detailed costumes they've ever had to like latex costumes they've ever had to create for scare actors, but they will also be using puppets too. They talked again about the 3D printed teeth, which they've talked about before, and they talked about there'll be different types of Demogorgons. There'll be ones where the face is open, one where it's closed, and then there'll also be ones where the face opens up on you.
That'll be really cool.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like they're really. You know, I know some things have been mentioned before that this is their goal has been this is to be one of the most detailed houses they've ever done.
Yeah.
That you will feel like you're walking through the series, that you're right in the middle of everything of all these different major scenes that happened in the show.
And we've heard that Netflix has been a big part in the show or in the design of the haunted house. So,
yeah, that they've been very hands on and you know any questions or anything they needed answered, you know they Netflix and the producers of the TV show have been really hands on. And the other thing they mentioned being that this house is in Hollywood and Singapore. Each house and each location will be unique to that location. So they didn't just design one house and just copy it at all three locations. Each Horror Nights event will have their own unique Stranger Things house.
Which is really cool because, you know, it's one thing when, you know, when Hollywood and Orlando and, you know, I mean, let's say Singapore, we all get the same thing and it is the same thing, but to change it up, that's pretty cool that each individual park will have their own spin on.
Yeah.
Stranger
I mean, that's what's some people don't understand. They just see Horror Nights, you know, in Hollywood, Horror Nights, Singapore.
Yeah.
Each event has their own creative team.
Yeah.
They do all talk to each other and cross pollinate ideas and things and stuff. Often, like, especially, you know, props and stuff like that, ideas are duplicated, you know, through the different events, but they each come up with their own thing for each event. So
yeah.
One of the next things they talked about was Poltergeist. You know, it's been mentioned before, this is one that they have wanted for years, and they finally landed their white whale. One of the things they mentioned about putting together a house like Poltergeist is how hard it is to do a ghost story. That doing ghost stories, it's about mood and tone. You know, they're going to use like air movements to create the feel of a ghostly presence. You know, one of the things I think really unique about this house is the way you will walk into it is you're basically starting at the climax of the film, where you're going to be going through the pool that's under construction in the background, in the backyard. Storms going on around you. Through the use of force perspective, you're going to be looking up and seeing the house above you. You know, so you're basically going in underground, underneath the house, is how you will get into this house.
Yeah, and they also mentioned force perspective will be used with the house, so it looks like you're going to be, like you said, in the pool looking up.
Yeah.
At the house. Yeah, so that's going to be really cool.
Yeah, as the storm's going on around you.
Yeah.
You know, you basically travel underground to get up into the house, and you will, you know, it's, you know, the whole thing is it's built on a burial ground, so you'll go basically through the ground, through the burial ground, before you, like, get into the house.
Yeah.
Based on what they said. And they, you know, and then the house is full of different set pieces from the movie, like the kitchen, you know, and then it'll be interesting to see how they do this, because, you know, a lot of the things in the movie is go into the light or don't go into the light. So there will be stuff like that where I think they mentioned something like there's a point where you're going to go into the light.
Let me guess, it's going to be this blinding strobe light that's going to blind us all.
Yeah, I could definitely see after you go through the underground part, they talked about the audio being very important in this house, to create that ghostly effect, and you know, I could definitely see them using, like, going into the light, you know, and flashing a bright light right into your face, and then that completely screws your irises down for the rest of the house.
Yeah, that's what I was afraid of when they said you're going to go into the light. It's either blinding white light or strobe or something.
Yeah,
like that.
I mean, they've definitely used the blinding light stuff before to cause your irises to tighten up, which causes it you make it even harder for you to see in the dark. So it'll be interesting to see how they pull that off. I mean, I know some people have compared this to, like, oh, well, The Exorcist. Well, you know, you got to remember The Exorcist took place basically in one location the entire movie, so they really had to get sort of abstract with that house. Whereas I think we're talking here, I think really more along The Shining, where you have the set pieces from the movie, and I think, and a lot of us, even though it may not have been the scariest house, The Shining, design wise was so impressive.
The bar scene and the, you know, just the sets were really impressive.
Yeah, the bar scene, the hallways, it was all super impressive.
Yeah, I mean, the house never really did it for me as far as a scary haunted house, but the sets and everything were amazing in that house. So
yeah, and especially with Poltergeist, with this being another one that they've wanted for years, I'm sure that, you know, they've been tossing ideas back and forth for years now on what to do if they ever got this house. So
yeah,
I expect this one to be pretty good. One of the things they next talked about was one of the original houses, which is Slaughter Cinema, which, you know, they sort of talked about the way they came up with this house, and even, you know, one of the first things that they did was come up with, like, different, like, schlocky B-movie titles to sort of, you know, base this house around. And basically, like, every scene you go into is completely different, and each one, like, has a movie poster for it, which we've sort of seen in some of the release stuff they've released when they announced this.
Yeah, they were talking about when they were designing the movie posters, how much fun they had designing those, so... I think this house is going to be the, I don't want to say fun house, but,
there's always a more comedy house where the scares are there, but it's a little bit more comedic.
And I think this is going to be that one.
You know, where sometimes goofy stuff happens, you know?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I definitely think this might be the one happens. And speaking of funny comedy, goofy stuff, they talked Killer Clowns. Which, I mean, all the time, I never thought we'd see something from Killer Clowns at Halloween Horror Nights. I mean, it's one of those cult movies, that was popular in the 80s. It really became more popular because it used to show up on pay cable and then regular basic cable all the time.
Yeah.
They mentioned the fact that, you know, this is the first time they've used this area as a scare zone. I mean, it's often been used for chainsaw gangs in the past. You know, basically the waterfront part of New York there, from Louis to Transformers.
And they had to move it because of Fast and Furious scare zone. Well,
yeah, I mean, with Fast and Furious in the gift shop exiting there, that really wasn't a good spot for a scare zone anymore. It was always never a great spot for a scare zone because it just traffic wise, it was so tight.
It bottlenecked there pretty bad.
Yeah, it bottlenecked. I mean, which in some aspects, you know, there was only so much they could do there as far as scare zones go. But one of the other reasons they decided to use this spot is with the debut of Cinematic Celebration. They have all these projectors that they use for the projection mapping of the show.
Yeah.
Already ready for those buildings. And so this scare zone will use projection mapping. You know, every several times a night, the Killer Clown spaceship will take off.
I'm really curious to see how they do that.
Yeah, I mean, you'll see like the, you know, you'll see the big top and the spaceship, and you know they'll have like the shadow puppets. You know, some of the other things you'll see are the ice cream truck. There'll be the cocoon pods. From what they've said, the clowns themselves will be huge. They were in the movie.
Aiello just posted a picture on his Twitter account of one of the costumes.
Yeah, one of the masks.
One of the masks, and it looks really cool. So.
Yeah, I mean, these masks are really, the molds for them were like gigantic.
Yeah.
You know, and they'll also have the popcorn. They'll have the popcorn monsters, which will be puppets. So it seems like they're really using every different type of thing here. To really pull off this the scare zone.
It's really interesting over the years how much puppetry. I mean, there's always been little snidbits of puppetry used in Horror Nights, but you know, with the more advanced stuff like American Werewolf and all these fancy puppets, it's really interesting to see over the years that they've used puppets more.
Yeah, I mean, it's something. It's, you know, one. It's something they've used in different instances. I mean, one of the most really where they really used puppets on a large scale was like American Werewolf.
Yeah.
Like
I said, that was one of the first ones they did.
Yeah, where they used one of these, you know, really really impressive skit, you know, puppets. And speaking of puppets. they also talked about the Revenge of Chucky scare zone, and much to the happiness of everyone, Chucky will be a live puppet in one location in the scare zone.
Live puppet? What does that mean?
I mean, there'll be a live puppeteer. I guess that's... I don't know. I just wrote down what they said. So, I mean, yeah, it'll be a puppet in one location, which if you guys have looked around social media, you've seen that location because it's out now.
Yeah, just today, some more stuff popped up in Chucky, the Chucky scare zone. So
yeah, basically Chucky, Chucky's toy manufacturer is sort of having this festival, this toy festival, which now, as we're seeing more and more, looks like it's the debut. The new line of the doll, and there'll be the other toys that will be in the scare zone will be throwbacks to toys from the 1980s, and they have become possessed, and Chucky's spirit is possessing them, and he's having these toys worship him.
My sister, she's terrified of Chucky, so I'm excited for this scare zone just because of that reason.
And they're even going to reuse some of the characters from the 2009 Chucky house that they had will be a part of the scare zone.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know about that.
So if I remember correctly, it's like the toys, and they're going to reuse some of those characters. And I think they mentioned like some of the toys' employees, I guess, will probably be like some of the ones being terrorized or something, maybe too.
Yeah.
So it definitely looks like it's going to be. It already looks. I mean, based on some of the stuff they put out there, put out now. I mean, they're putting sets that aren't just being rolled. I'm sure there'll be some sets that'll be rolled out, but I mean, they're actually putting some permanent sets down for this, which is not usually doesn't happen on Hollywood Boulevard.
Yeah, like I said, when I posted a video on our YouTube channel, just a little quick Halloween Horror Nights construction update. When I was walking down, filming down Hollywood Boulevard, I mentioned, I was like, I don't know if they're going to have, because, you know, with Vant 55, you know, they have these almost like parade floats that they wheel out there.
Yeah, I mean, Hollywood's usually always been like a wheeled out scare zone. I mean, even 25, all the different icon setups were all portable and wheeled out. So, and then they did get to one more scare zone, and probably the one that a lot of people are the most excited for is Vamp 85. And basically during the run of Vamp 55 is when they came up with for the idea of Vamp 85.
I think they saw how popular it was.
Yeah, they saw how popular it was. It had a storyline, and even they even mentioned the fact, and I really know this, I knew this because I knew some of the scare actors. The scare actors, you know, came up with their own storylines for their characters.
Yeah,
and it became a part of the scare zone, and I mean, they even talked about, you know, the ice cream man and a lot of the different things the scare actors did that really made that scare zone very popular. But I mean, it had a storyline to it that if you stood there in the scare zone and watched, you saw it happen. Which to me is always one of the things I like it when a scare zone does that. It's you know, I really feel like one of the first times I saw that was back the first Purge, the first time they did the Purge as a scare zone. It had a storyline going on during it that if you paid attention and hung around for a while, you saw it happen.
And, you know, that's one of the coolest things about Halloween Horror Nights is, you know, a lot of people when they visit Halloween Horror Nights, it's go, 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 get to all the haunted houses. But if you have a frequent fear pass and you can take the time and just sit back and watch a scare zone, sometimes that's the coolest thing you can do, is just sit back and watch, especially if, you know, like you said, if it has a storyline, if it has a theme about it.
Yeah, I mean, it really helped with Vamp 55 as that one was on Hollywood Boulevard, and you got all those benches on Hollywood Boulevard. You can just sort of sit there and watch it unfold. And you know, Vamp 85 will be on in New York. It's December 31st, 1984, New Year's Eve, and the ball is going to drop, and they're going to have a ball drop approximately every 20 minutes with a stage, and there will be a feeding frenzy led by rocking, dancing vampires. That's what they said, rocking, dancing vampires. So,
Aiello actually said, and I think they said this during, I can't remember if they did this during the round table or not, but they have, they're picking out like an 80s playlist that's going to be pretty awesome for the scare zone.
Yeah, for the scare zone, it will be, the scare zone specifically will be nothing in the scare zone will be any music that came out after December 31st, 1984, and that they've got a gigantic soundtrack for that scare zone. You know, and what we've heard over the last like couple of days too is basically the music you hear throughout the entire event is going to be 80s related. It's all going to have an 80s feel to it. So maybe we finally won't get Send Me an Angel unless they do an 80s version of it, which I wouldn't put it past them.
Yeah.
But yeah, supposedly not just Vamp 85, the entire event's going to have an 80s sounding soundtrack to it.
Yeah, because they usually blast music out there by the arch, you know, the entryway and the arches and everything. So I'm sure that'll be 80s.
But yeah, I mean, they mentioned stuff like Thriller, Karma Chameleon.
They mentioned the Karma Chameleon.
Yeah, the soundtrack is gigantic to the point that like they had to like stop like adding songs to the soundtrack.
Yeah.
So I mean, we've already seen, like I said, they put the stage up. You know, we've seen window displays featuring like fashions from the early 1980s. So it's already starting to come together. This is going to be a gigantic scare zone on New York Street. We'll be interested to see how the whole storylines play out for this one.
Yeah, you know, like we said, Vamp 55 was huge. So when they announced this Vamp 85, the reception was very positive, and it'll be interesting to see how this whole scare zone plays out with all the vampires and how it's gonna look. Because I don't know, I mean, they're building the stage with the ball drop, but I wonder what else is gonna be in the scare zone as far as any sort of theming or anything.
Yeah, I mean they, we haven't really seen much yet, but I expect the pieces are probably gonna start coming out soon. Yeah. I'll be at some there's some pieces I'm sure that will have to be rolled out each night, but I'm sure they're definitely going to do some stuff to the actual New York facades to make it look more like the 1980s.
And don't they? I mean, they have. I've seen it before in New York too. They have projection mapping.
I'll be interested to see if they use any projection mapping or anything like that.
Confetti going off at midnight.
Yeah, so they did talk about one of the other original houses. Didn't talk much about Seeds of Extinction. They sort of mentioned that, you know, there'll be a lot of camouflage scares. Shocking. It's supposed to be
plants.
Yeah, and they said there'll be a lot of, I guess, the stuff that's covered up in vegetation. There'll be a lot of Easter eggs in this house. Of things like Jack and Eddie's sunglass hut. I'm sorry, there'll be like a convenience store with lightning gulp. You know, that there's going to be a ton of little Easter eggs that'll be woven throughout this house.
Yeah, I remember them saying that this is going to be the Easter egg house. If you're a Halloween Horror Nights fan, Seeds of Extinction is going to be the house where you're going to want to pay attention, because there's going to be a lot of Easter eggs throughout the house. So,
yeah, and then the only other house they mentioned outside of Scary Tales, which we sort of went over with earlier, they talked about Halloween 4, and that, you know, the entire house is going to be based on the environments and kills from the movie. You know, we've already heard that they're using the soundtrack from the movie. So, I mean, we've discussed Halloween before. I expect it to be... You know, the other two houses were really good, and I expect this one to be, you know, Halloween 4 is not the greatest movie, but I expect the house to be, they really know how to use Michael Myers properly in a house before, and I imagine they'll do a good job this time.
Yeah, I've never, you know, I haven't been through a bad Halloween house yet, no matter how bad the movie is, and I may have to add that to my list of, like I said, Happy Death Day, Killer Clowns from Outer Space. And I've seen Halloween 4, but it's been a minute, so I may go back.
It's been a while since I've seen Halloween 4.
I may have to go back and rewatch that one, just, you know, because one of the things with another really cool thing with Halloween Horror Nights is if a lot of people go to this event not seeing any of the movies or TV shows related to the haunted house, but when you go and watch the movie, it adds a whole nother level of experience to it, because you can, you know, you're going through the house and you say, oh, I remember that. So, you know, I always like to have the story or the movies or the TV shows fresh in my memory with what's going on. So,
yeah, I mean, it's definitely and it's really interesting this year with 10 houses that you got five IP houses and five freaking original houses. I mean, that's just crazy to sit there and really think about that.
Yeah, when we first started getting announcements, I was wondering what the ratio to IPs to original was going to be, and it ended up being split right down the middle, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I'm always a fan of the originals. You know, don't get me wrong. I love all the IPs that Universal brings to this event, but, you know, I've been going to Halloween Horror Nights for, like I said, since number 5, and back then they didn't have a whole lot of IPs, and they had to do original stuff. So,
yeah, I mean, it's far amazing how far they've come, and you know, and the one other thing they did talk about was Academy of Villains Cyberpunk.
Yeah.
Which is the one show this year. The show's going into the Fear Factor theater. Since it's going in there, it's going to be a more theatrical show. It's going to be bigger, more over the top. They're going with sort of a cyberpunk 1980s theme that's set in a dark dystopian world, sort of like Man versus Machine. They've said that they're doing staging and elements they've never done in the Fear Factor theater before. So it definitely looks like it's going to be very elaborate. They did mention that one of the founders of Academy of Villains, Phoenix, will be in the show this year. They just talked about Academy of Villains. You know, one of the things we've talked about is whether they're going to mix in some outside acts along with them. I imagine. I just can't imagine that they're going to dance the entire time.
I mean, the Academy of Villains. They're a pretty creative group. So
yeah,
could they do a full show with no other help? Sure. But I don't think that we're going to get that. Not because they can't do it. I'm pretty sure they could. But on the flip side, it's Universal. It's a corporation.
Yeah.
So surely there's going to be some sort of third party involvement with this show. So it'll be interesting. I'm excited. You know, I've always loved the Academy. I've always enjoyed watching the Academy of Villains. It's not going to be something like Bill and Ted that I could watch every single time I go.
Yeah, I mean, Academy, this is going to be a very interesting year. No Bill and Ted for the first time. Academy Villains has its fans. I mean, it's usually always packed in front of that stage, but the Fear Factor Theater is a lot bigger. And I will be interested to see how much it fills up every night for their shows.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how the 10th House and Academy of Villains, you know, like you said, whether how the attendance is for every single show. If they do fill up Fear Factor or not. And so it'll be interesting to watch the logistics this year with Horror Nights because of No Bill and Ted and a 10th house. So
yeah, I mean, it'll be, you know, I've always said, I mean, I'm glad they're going into Fear Factor, because I've always, you need a show where people get to sit down for, you know, 30-45 minutes.
Give your feet a break.
Yeah, to give your feet a break. But it'll be interesting to see how well it does, and whether they're how many shows they're going to do a night too. Because I think normally they only did at the one stage, they only did like 4 shows a night. So I'll be interested to see how many shows a night they're going to be doing.
How many did Bill and Ted usually do?
They would do what, 5?
I was going to say, wasn't it about 5?
Those 2 o'clock closes, and there's going to be a lot more of those 2 o'clock closes this year.
Yeah, because they added 2 days.
Added 2 days to the schedule.
Ticket sales are going well, so.
And then one of the other things, they brought out some merchandise, you know, that's, as much as I love the event, the merchandise has been something I've not been a fan of for the most part, outside of I do have my phone case is the the bone guy from last year.
Yeah,
but I did get that at the Universal garage sale. but I mean, the only stuff I've ever really loved was the 25th anniversary Cartoony Jack logo.
Yeah, they really outdid themselves.
Which was it? Which was interesting to find out is the creative team liked it so much that they stole that logo to use for the 25th anniversary house.
Yeah, I remember him saying that
it was merch that came up with that logo. And they slapped it on the 25th anniversary house because they liked it. So it's still my favorite piece of Halloween Horror Nights design. And unfortunately, however, this year some of the things they showed so far actually looks pretty cool. They've really, and one of its reasons is they're embracing this 80s feel. And the icon shirt this year, the multi character icon shirt, is in the style of a 1980s. Those 1980s movie posters like Raiders of the Lost Ark and Star Wars and stuff like that, illustrated look.
Yeah, I think this poster, because they've never really done any ScareZone merchandise, and this is one of the first times they've done anything on a ScareZone.
Yeah, there's going to be a ScareZone poster and T-shirt, and it's very, it's got that sort of stylized.
Oh, are they doing a T-shirt of it too?
I believe they said T-shirt too. And a T-shirt.
Oh, that's cool.
You know, there'll be a lot of Stranger Things stuff, and I think their goal is to have more unique stuff. You know, there's a Stranger Things mug where when you look on the inside, it's like the teeth of the Demogorgon line the inside of the mug.
Yeah, that was my concern with Stranger Things merchandise. I just didn't want it to be basic generic, because there's Stranger Things merchandise everywhere now.
I mean, I feel like maybe they're starting to realize that if they're going to do IP merchandise, it needs to be more unique.
Yeah,
another, especially at that garage sale last year, they had a ton of IP stuff.
Yeah,
Horror Nights IP stuff left over at that garage sale last year. There was a ton of it there.
And from what I can remember last year, none of it was really unique. It was just generic.
They like slapped the twins from The Shining onto a T-shirt. You know,
yeah.
It wasn't very unique. I mean, but this year it's like there's a unique Stranger Things hat. The cool thing I saw, the T-shirt that the Stranger Things Horror Nights T-shirt that has the arches in the upside, the Universal Studios arches in the upside down.
Hollywood's.
I'm really sort of disappointed. They showed mock-ups. I'm hoping maybe we're getting our own unique shirt, but I wouldn't put it past them not to do that, which would be sort of disappointing. Trick or Treat is getting its own shirt, and it's going to be like black light and UV sensitive. There's even going to be leggings. They're going to have Trick or Treat leggings. So they're trying to really, as they said in the roundhead, the merchandise guy said, they're really trying to push the envelope with unique items, which like we said, that's always been one of the problems with the IP stuff, is it's, besides slapping Horror Nights on there, it's stuff you can get anywhere.
Yeah.
So it looks like they've really been listening to a lot of people. Because I normally don't buy the merchandise. I mean, I don't own a bunch of, outside of the 25th anniversary I got the phone case with the Jack cartoon logo. I've got the lanyard with the Jack cartoon logo, and I got the T-shirt with the Jack cartoon logo, and then somebody gave me a Jack shirt that year. As a gift.
You didn't get the hoodie that year?
I'm kicking myself now for not getting the hoodie. And I think I saw it like when they used to put the clearance stuff in the exit shop.
Yeah.
Like that weekend after, I saw it there. And I don't know why I didn't buy it. I could kick myself not buying it now.
I think that's one of my prized HHN pieces of merchandise. The 25 hoodie.
I definitely wish I had bought it now. But
No, the merchandise this year actually looks really good. And they're also doing, you know, the, what's the merchandise that they, it was on the pin, the pumpkin.
Yeah, there's even the unique annual pass holder merchandise looks pretty good with the pumpkin design.
Yeah, I like that whole pumpkin design they got going on with that. Everybody was like, oh, it's not 80s. I was like, you know.
No, but I mean, like you said, one of the things they said, they're trying to come up with a bunch of different unique items this year.
Yeah.
And instead of just the same sort of generic.
The same thing.
Yeah, and I think, you know, for a lot of people, that's been their, as the event's gotten bigger and better, the merchandise has been one of their biggest complaints. Is just, you know, especially for those of us, I love the event, but most years those T-shirts, you wouldn't catch me dead in one of those things.
No pun intended.
Yeah, no pun intended. I mean, unfortunately, there's been so many much better looking, HHN inspired shirts out there, designed by some people we know.
Yeah,
that are much more exciting and much more fun, look better than the stuff that they come up with. So I'm definitely happy to see that there looks like they've really stepped up their game this year on the merchandise. And
yeah, and one thing that's always you know, I always try to find something for every year, but like you said, years past, especially recently, I haven't really been impressed with the merchandise. So hopefully,
oh yeah, no, I mean, and my biggest example that of them dropping the ball was 26.
Yeah,
with Chance. How you not come up with merchandise with her on it? Or you had the cartoony Jack the year before. I mean, could you imagine how much like Chance stuff would have sold
if they did they had cartoony Chance.
Yeah. Or even like was it T-Turtle who does like the cutesy looking stuff?
Yeah,
T-Turtle looking Chance, that stuff would have sold like crazy.
Or like one of those like Japanese like little anime, you know, not necessarily like that, like
anything, comic, yeah, like I said, a cartoony or comic looking Chance.
Yeah,
you know, I mean she already sort of is a visual slight ripoff of Harley Quinn, but
she's got a huge fan base just like Jack. So
yeah, so it's you know, that year was really disappointing, but it really looks like they've upped their game. And I wonder too, with the Stranger Things stuff, it's like knowing that there's so much Stranger Things merchandise out there, they needed to come up with some stuff that was unique and to the event, and it looks like they have with just the stuff that they sort of tease, which there'll be even more stuff than some of the stuff we've seen already. So
oh yeah, they didn't tease everything. The what's his name, the guy that they had on the round table, the merchandise guy, I can't remember his name.
Yeah,
but you know, he only bought out like what, four or five different things, so
yeah,
surely there's a lot more to come. So anyways, I think that's it. I figured this would be a good episode to round things out for Halloween Horror Nights announcement, since everything is done.
Yeah, and next week may be the one little short break we have where we don't talk about Halloween Horror Nights, maybe.
Yeah.
And then it's gonna be Horror Nights preview and then Horror Nights review.
Yep. So I think that's it, right? You didn't have anything else you wanted to discuss in your notes or anything?
No, that was pretty much, you know, everything that was covered in that roundtable. Like I said, they teased a lot of things. They haven't teased everything, which, you know, which is good. You don't want to know everything. You know, they, like I said, between now and the beginning of the event, they'll trickle out stuff on social media. And obviously, we'll see more and more of the scare zones come up. And speaking of that, scare zones, on our YouTube channel, we've got two different Scare Zone construction update videos on there right now. And of course, which are already outdated. Yeah, which are already outdated. But if you want to see the progress of Scare Zone construction, you know, we've got them on the YouTube channel. But speaking of social media, we are at Thrill Geek on Twitter and Instagram. We are facebook.com/thrillgeek. Please like and follow our Facebook page. And we have some live videos that we walked around Halloween Universal and took a look at some of the Scare Zone stuff, construction going on our Facebook page. And we are youtube.com/thrillgeek. Like and subscribe to the YouTube channel to stay up to date on our latest videos. And remember, thrillgeek.com for the latest in theme park and pop culture news. And make sure you click on that podcast link on our website, and you can hear us. Well, you're hearing us right now if you're listening live on YouTube, but you can hear us everywhere. You can get in a podcast. You can get the Thrill Geek podcast.
Yeah, we're pretty much everywhere. So if you have a favorite podcast app, you know, I'm scrolling through our stats and everything, and there's Podcast Addict, there's Pod This, Pod That. We're on pretty much everything. So if you have a favorite podcast app, just search Thrill Geek Podcast. And rock and roll. So, coming up here, actually tonight at midnight, they have Six Flags Magic Mountain will be announcing their new ride, and then tomorrow morning, early, Six Flags every Six Flags park will be, you know, Six Flags does their announcements one day for every single park. So,
and then Carowinds is doing
Carowinds, which is really interesting because Carowinds is doing their announcement tomorrow as well. I don't know why they chose to do their announcement on the same day Six Flags announces all of their stuff. So we will have that to discuss.
Yeah, also this week, Food and Wine kicks off. We'll have some of that up on the social media. You know, it Halloween's chugging along. More and more Mickey's Not So Scary's. And we're getting closer and closer to Halloween Horror Nights and Hallow Scream.
And we'll be back.
Our friends over in the Tampa Bay area, Screamageddon, they kick off again. So,
which, by the way, we're teaming up with them again for another giveaway. So stay tuned for details on that. So,
yeah, well, we've got a bunch of giveaways and different things coming up here soon.
So, yep. All sorts of goodies. So
I think that is all.
I think so. Like I said, sorry again for the mishap we had earlier this week. But everything went smooth tonight, apparently. No issues. So we'll be back to our regularly scheduled program. We'll record again Sunday night, and it should be up Monday. So,
yeah, and then we're all going to Not Mickey's Not So Scary on a Labor Day.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. We're actually going to be returning, so... although I'll be there with family that time. That
we're there more to have fun this time.
Exactly. So, all right, cool. Thanks, guys, for listening, and we will see you guys next week.
See you in the parks.